You know, life can be summed up by the strength. How good life is can be summed up by the strength of your relationships. If your relationships are doing well, life is good. But when your relationships are under stress, then it's a nebulous sort of feeling. If I stub my toe or whack it in my hand with a hammer, I know where the pain is. It's there. But when you are emotionally hurting because of relationship pain and breakup, you can't put your finger on it. It's just there. It's a nagging pain. And we're designed, and God has created us, to be in relationship continuously with Him and relationship with one another. There shouldn't have been any breakup. We shouldn't have any problems. We're never designed to live in that realm. And we can't even imagine how that looks. And last week I was talking about, you know, the fact that the damage that we have caused to us causes us to have spikes like porcupines sticking out, like, and those stick into each other, and we get more hurt. And that is the world we live in. But God wants to lead us through that into a different realm. Last week I was talking about the need for us to bring dignity, to have dignity, but also to bring dignity to one another, and how Jesus brought dignity. When you talk about hunger and poverty and disease, and you know those things, it's a loss of dignity. When someone else has to look after you, you lose your dignity. And someone today, an actress just saying that her childhood was robbed away because of poverty, extreme poverty in the US. She was so hungry that she was befriending people who she knew, who mums gave them food. You know, a kid whose mum had some food, she became their friend to get some food. She dumpster dived, you know, to try and get food. She said she lost her childhood, and it was replaced with shame and the loss of dignity. And I said last week that there's three things that we need to walk this life. We need a connection with God. We need a friend to help us on the way. And I missed out the third one, for those who you can go back to your notes last week. You need to know where you're going. You need a path. I talked about the United Service will be about pilgrimage, and next week I will talk a little about pilgrimage. You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know that this isn't it, and you're moving somewhere else. Otherwise, it's just looking down survival mode and trembling. So that issue of you need a friend is quite important. That friend is there on your journey to keep your dignity intact. That's really the definition of what a friend should be. It should be someone who's on your side, who's there for you, who the Bible says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, we're talking about a friendship which is nourishing you. And so today, having kind of presented the problems and talked about what the issues are, I want to give you a few solutions. Because sometimes we can just rehearse everything you know. Yeah, the world's a horrible place. Yeah, it is. But what are we going to do about it? So I want to give you some practical steps in how you can mend relationships, how you can protect and keep the relationships you've got, and how you can be different from the world around you. In Proverbs 13, it says, one last thing. When we were hearing that song about breathing and open spaces, I just had that picture of from the Sound of Music when she runs over the top of the hill and, you know, spins around. And, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to a place of freedom that isn't just, oh, great, I'm out of the woods, but is just bursting out, you know? Just thought I'd throw that in. Proverbs 13, verse 3. That isn't it. It's Proverbs 11, verse 13. No, it isn't. Sorry. I know. Thanks, Stella. Encouragement on the front row. Yes, Proverbs. You're right. I was right in the first place. 13 and verse 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Ultimately, you may have heard that thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you. That is complete rubbish. That is rot of the greatest order. The thing that hurts us more than anything is people's words. They have the power to destroy, and they do destroy. That's why when what we speak out of our mouths is so powerful, that's why, you know, I think I've got a cold coming on, has power to fulfill itself. Or, no, I had that flu jab at church, so I'm not going to get sick, has power to resist the enemy. Our confession is not just positive mumbo jumbo. It is God has placed life and death in the tongue. That is why in James it talks about the tongue being like a spark that can set a whole forest on fire. And if you've been in Australia, you know what that means. A forest fire can start here and the wind will carry a spark and carry it miles and dump it in another forest and it will set fire. It's, in England, we're so damp, the spark setting light to anything, you know, we can't even get a barbecue going when we got a lighter fuel and matches and paper and everything else. So, but you've got to... So when the word says, you know, it's our tongue. Our tongue is the problem. The things we say is the issue. And most of the things that have hurt us the most. When someone's behavior affects us, we retaliate usually with our tongue. And it's a weapon. It just goes in. You're an idiot. Wallop. Straight in. And some people have lived with that curse. And God wants to break that. But these are seven guidelines that will protect relationships. And I would suggest that you write them down, and I would suggest that you take them into every sphere of life. This isn't just, oh, well, this is something to do at church. These will work wherever you apply them. The first rule of keeping relationships safe, protecting them, and guarding yourself in all things is that everything is confidential. Most issues occur from someone telling something else someone told them. And the damage that is caused by you being told something and telling someone else. Now, in Christian circles, it's wrapped up in just something for you to pray about. You know, which is nonsense. So the first rule is everything is confidential. There are things that people have told me that I haven't told Tanya, quite rightly, because they're confidential. And the reason I'm in part of my role here is the ability to be able to be given information and not need or have to pass it on to anyone else. And that's true in any place. Information that you get should be from other people should be safe. And if it's not safe in your hands, you need to ask God to help you to keep it safe, because there's nothing worse than betraying a confidence. Proverbs 11, verse 13. It says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. A trustworthy man keeps a secret. You should be able to keep a secret. Unfortunately, one of the few things, and I'm not going to get too political here, but one of the few things that this week I've heard said by a politician was actually Nigel Farage, who said, I have had conversations, but I'm not telling you about them because I'm not going to leak them to the press, and I'm not going to tell you in time because they were confidential. And I thought, hallelujah. I mean, not that I'm a great fan of the guy, but that principle he's got right. The problem is that most of the destruction, no one believes that anything is confidential anymore. And it's just seen as, oh, it's okay. The other thing is that when someone tells you something that they should have kept secret, you think, well, it's all out now, so I might as well carry on telling people because I wasn't the one who broke the confidentiality, so it's open season. You have an opportunity to keep confidentiality, even if someone else has broken it. So let you be the end of the situation. Let you be the one who absorbs it and doesn't take it any further than that. Rule two, or principle two, is everything is confidential. Because if I don't say it again, you'll skip over the first thing and go, yeah, let's get on to the next thing. Yeah, we get that. That's not very good. That's not very important. It is important, and it is essential that when you create a culture of trust, because to undo the damage that has happened to us, at some point we have to tell someone what happened. And when we come back to dignity, that is a real big step. And the only way we can even believe it's possible to be healed is the enemy is raging in our mind. If anyone finds out that you did that, or that happened to you, or that's who you are, you'll be X, Y, and Z. And so you take the big step and you trust someone and you tell someone. And at that moment, they tell someone else. Bam! Trust is gone. And you then make a vow to yourself, I'm not telling anyone ever again. They can't be trusted. Christians can't be trusted. Leaders can't be trusted. People who say they love me can't be trusted. Friends, and the enemy has got you exactly where he wants you, isolated and not trusting people and not connecting. And you can't have a proper relationship without trusting someone. And you can't have a relationship without giving of yourself. And if that person breaks confidentiality that you've told them, you're going to destroy their relationship and your relationship. Point three. Everything is confidential. It's the last one, but just for good effect. The most important thing you can do is take that on board. Point four. Keep short accounts. Some of us don't like rocking the boat. We don't like upsetting people. We get upset. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't like confronting. We find that a struggle. It's hard. And so we don't ever. So what we do is we brood and we simmer and we fester. And then that brings out all sorts of, we don't know what to do with that. And therefore, we then usually go and break confidentiality. Guess what such and such did? Da, 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 da. Bang, bang, bang. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, it says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. And that means just between the two of you. And that doesn't mean after I told everyone else, I then got up enough courage because they were outraged, just like I was outraged, and now I've come and told you your fault. Because further on it says, if he listens to you, you've won a brother over. In one translation, it says, what that word means, you've traded up. You've exchanged good for better. If you keep short accounts with one another, you will increase your relationships. You will get better relationships. Because that's what it requires for us to keep short accounts. Hey, you know, don't let things fester. Get them out. Deal with them. Further on that it says, if he refuses to listen to you, take other people to you. And then it says, if he refuses to listen to even the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. It's quite an interesting one, because that kind of infers a pagan or a tax collector, just kick him out. Except that the next chapter, Jesus is answering, how many times should I forgive? So what they're saying there is, if you've got someone who you can't, is damaging and hurting you, and you're going to have to keep them at arm's length to protect yourself and others. You know, for me, I can't put someone into a position of responsibility who I know cannot keep a confidence, or who is damaging individuals, because it's my job to look after people. If I intentionally say, oh, go and speak to that person, they'll help you, and I know for a fact that person just is going to spread it everywhere, I can't do that. It doesn't mean I'm rejecting that person. It just means you can't have the depth of relationship that you would like to have with them. until you sort that thing out. Point five, communication is vital. Most issues come because we misunderstand each other. You know, what I said and the way I said it, you heard something different, and I didn't mean to say that, but then I reacted to what you said, and then I said something, and bang. It all comes from a lack of communication. Understanding that you've got to be clear with people. You've got to tell them why, particularly why you're doing, because it's motivation that people misunderstand. They think that you're doing something for a reason that you're not. You know, it's quite fun. We've been in the office, and Beth has joined us in the office, and so it's a good time to talk about different things. And some of the things that have come up is the annoying things that I do in the office. You know, well, I say annoying things. I don't find them annoying. Humming, drumming my fingers on the table. You know, things we don't even know we're doing. But I know that there are people, if you don't keep short accounts and communicate, who can get to a point where they think, that person, they know that annoys me, and they're doing it on purpose. They're sniffing every 30 seconds because they know it drives me crazy. And it's not. Some people don't even know, so communication is vital. Gossip is deadly. If there was one thing that if I could stop in the world, in the body of Christ, more than anything else, it would be gossip. I think we do pretty well here, but that is in comparison to a very low benchmark. Because the world is a horrible place, and gossip is killing relationships all the time. We don't even know we're doing it. And it kills trust more than anything else. And what gossip does is it takes a weakness of someone else and it spreads it, and it's a negative truth. But there are so many variations of it. There is slander. So you can say something wrong about someone else. You can you know, defame them. Dishing the dirt. Oh, guess what happened to this person? Da 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 da. Rumors, you know. I'm not sure this is true, but I heard that. Backbiting. Something's happened to you. You can't forgive them. You haven't gone with them. You haven't done point four and gone and dealt with it. So you've got nothing to do with the pain but to start talking to others about it. And you think that will help, but then you've given them some gossip, and before long, everyone it knows this piece of information. You know, you haven't covered over. It says love covers over a multitude of sin. Dignity is giving people dignity by covering over their faults. You know, when you were, I don't know whether they do it any longer now, but you know, when you were getting changed in the changing rooms and you were in the boys' changing room, if you walked out of the shower in a towel, it was everyone's job to try and pull the towel off you. Because that's humiliating. And when you gossip about someone, you're essentially pulling the towel off them and saying, look at that, and you're pointing them out. If you value that individual, if you see the value in them, and you think, would I like that happening to me? No. Or you think, well, it did happen to me, so I'm getting revenge. All of that is so wrong. The only joking thing. Oh, I'm only joking. You know, you say something completely negative, but as long as you put, I'm only joking on the end of it, that's okay. Or you plant a seed. Do you notice every time that you walk in the door, that person turns around and walks out? I think they might have a problem with you. Boom. Enemies got there. I may have got it all wrong, but I think this is what happened. And because we can't even interpret what people say to us directly, we misinterpret and we add our spin to it and we pass it on. It's deadly. The truth in love is what we're to speak. And that is spirit-led confrontation. Speaking God's reality into the situation. so that people aren't deluded. So when people say, oh, I'm telling you the truth in love, is it what God has asked you to say to that person or not? Kids are going to come in, so I'm having to wrap up. The last point is lying doesn't help. So you should have seven there. Everything is confidential. Everything is confidential. Everything is confidential. Keep short accounts. Communication is essential. Gossip is deadly. Lying is not helpful. Okay? The good news is you will all be weak in one area. One or more areas. There's no one who isn't, okay? So, we're all in this together. It's not that some of us have got it all sorted. Some of you are going to struggle more than anything. But I would say, as we take communion, and as we ask God for his help in this area, I want to say, love covers. Okay? We'll let the kids sit down. Have you had a good time out there, guys? You had a good time? No? Yes? Kirsty had a good time. Excellent. Good. Go through that checklist yourself with God and go through it with someone else you trust. Say, is this me? What do I do on this list? What do I do? What I don't? What don't I do? What am I good at? What am I not good at? Amen. Let's pray, okay? The kids coming back in were slightly noisier than I thought. I think we all realised that, and I carried on regardless. But you know, so as not to make them feel embarrassed, because I don't want to embarrass them. But you know, we've got to figure that out. System. Probably means I've got to shut up when I said I would, which was 5 minutes ago. Father, I thank you that you have got practical solutions to issues that we have to deal with. And Father, this is a world that we live in that lives by a different set of values and a different set of rules. And a lot of these things are acceptable everywhere else, but you call us to live a different life. And Father, you call us to protect and guard and bring dignity and be trustworthy and guard people because they're precious. And just as we would not like anyone that we love to be humiliated or destroyed, Father, we don't want to be the instruments of destruction. We don't want to be those who get ourselves trapped by letting secrets out and not communicating and just gossiping, Father. And I pray that you'd help us, because we want to create an environment where you can dwell and you can heal people and that we can see people set free. First of all, Father, we need to create an environment where people feel that they are safe. And Father, I just pray that you would enable us corporately and individually and in smaller groups to create an environment where it's absolutely watertight, safe for people to share the struggles they're having, the challenges they're going through. And Father, we will be those who help you glue back relationships together. We'll be those who are holding bits in place. We'll be those who are covering over people's inadequacies because we love them and because we too have those areas covered by others. And Lord, as we take communion, I just pray that you would bring healing to areas. You'd give us resolve to do things differently, but you'd heal us, particularly from areas where we've been damaged and destroyed by people's words, where we've been hurt. And you'd enable us to be healed. Healing is in your hands. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.